It's good to have you all here, and we're wrapping up our first series of the year as we finish up here in the month of January, a series that I've simply called A Clean Start. And you may notice we're missing a few of our youth. We got about 30 people down at Resurrection in Pigeon Forge. We were down there with them on Friday and Saturday, and they are having a great time, great speaker, great worship. In fact, the band that wrote the song, My Feet Are on the Rock, they're leading the worship down there, and so they're just having a blast down there. So we continue to lift up our youth and youth program as they worship God, just in another location this morning. Well, we finish up this series about what it means to have a clean start, and that clean start being based in something that we call forgiveness. So I want to rehash real quick where we have walked up to this point, beginning with the fact that we have been created in God's image, created in the image of the Creator. And we were not just called good, as God called all the different aspects of the creation that he created. But when he got to us, he called us very good. There's nothing more true about who you are than that, that you have been created in God's image. And you were called right from the get-go. You were called very good. But then, as we go through life, as the world happens, as life happens, there's this thing that enters in and begins to confuse and mess up that image. And it's something that we named a couple of weeks ago that we call sin. Sin enters in. It enters into our lives, and our lives, we're meant to thrive. We're meant to just enjoy an abundant life, which God desires for us. But sometimes when this thing called sin enters in, then it gets us off track. In fact, we had taken a look at the word of sin, and it literally means to stray off the path. That path that we had been walking with God. That path which it seemed like everything was going right. Everything was good. Everything was right. And then something happens. It could have been something that happened to us. It could be some decision that we made. It could be some hurt that we experienced. But something happens, and all of a sudden we find ourselves straying off the path. Sometimes we get ourselves into some pretty bad situations. And there comes a point that we may even begin to realize it. Another interpretation for sin is that we miss the mark. And sometimes it is glaringly obvious that we have missed the mark with our lives. And then we start feeling like failures. Then we start feeling like flunkouts. We start feeling like freaks. We start feeling like nobody would want to get to know me. Nobody would want to get close to me. Nobody would want to choose me as a friend, or me as a spouse, or people aren't going to want to come near me because of what's happened to me, because of what I've done. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're still feeling this way because, you know, life just keeps on happening. And sometimes this just happens to us. In fact, George Acevedo, who is the keynote speaker down at Resurrection, he was talking about this girl that he had met. His church is a recovery-based church. In fact, everything about their church is based in recovery ministries. And so they see churches going out to where people are, and especially broken, hurting people. And this one girl had started coming to their church. They serve meals about three nights out of the week there at the church. And she just told the pastor, she said, "Only reason I've come to your church is because I can get three free meals." And she was very honest with him. She's like, "You know, all my other income I'm using to feed my addiction." She's just very honest. And that's just the church they are. You can just be real and transparent, and you can tell people what's going on. And so she talked with George, and she got into a group, and then there was, for like 2 months, she was clean. And they had scheduled a Sunday for her to be baptized. She was ready to be baptized. And then on Saturday night, before she was to be baptized, she relapsed. And so it was time. It was Sunday morning. They had the baptismal all ready like we have, one of those big old horse troughs. Had it ready, filled with water, and she was nowhere to be found. And they made some phone calls, and she said, "I'm not coming to church today. I messed up. I strayed off the path. I missed the mark. I'm not worthy to come to church." Well, they made a couple phone calls. Her friends went over. Of course, she was going to open the door for her friends, and then her friends more or less just kidnapped her. They dragged her to church, and she was baptized. Because that's what God's grace is like. Even when we feel like we've totally missed the mark, we feel like we've strayed off the path, our God is a forgiving God. And so that's what happens. God's forgiveness enters into our lives. God's grace. So a new journey then begins at that point. The Bible has so many beautiful passages in it about God's forgiveness. Some of them come in this book that we call the Book of Psalms. The Book of Psalms is basically a music book. It's a music book of the Bible. It would be like the worship book for the Bible. And in it are some beautiful psalms. In it are some agonizing, painful psalms. Psalm 32 is one of my favorites when it comes to talking about this thing called forgiveness and God's forgiveness. So I'm gonna read to you five of the verses that come out of Psalm 32. I'm gonna pick up with verse 1. It says, "The one whose wrongdoing is forgiven, whose sin is covered over, is truly happy. The one the Lord doesn't consider guilty, in whose spirit there is no dishonesty, that one is truly happy." Now, I think you can identify with this. You know, there are those times and places in our lives when everything has felt and seemed right. Like, we don't have a guilty conscience. You know, we've made amends. We've had those hard discussions that we need to have with people. We don't feel like there's anything weighing us down. And when we're like that, even if life isn't great, you know, when you've got a clean conscience, when you know that you've done what you can do, there's a sense of freedom there. There's a sense of joy. And that's what the psalmist is declaring here and recognizing that, you know, when we can find ourselves in those places of life, which is exactly where God wants us to be, then there's happiness, there's joy, there's freedom. But we all know that for whatever reasons, I just call it life, it is really difficult to just stay there at times. He goes on and he says, "But when I kept quiet, my bones wore out. I was groaning all day long, every day and every night, because your hand was heavy upon me. My energy was sapped as if in a summer drought." Have you ever been a part of something that has just been eaten, weighing on your mind, something that's just eating at your life? You know that you've said something, you've done something, and you just, you know you're in the wrong, but you don't say anything about it. Tossed and turned at night over something before? Can't seem to get it off your mind? Something's weighing heavy on your heart? Maybe it's something that's happened to you. I know I shared a little bit of my testimony at our recovery ministry this past Thursday, but I've experienced the pain of life. I've been through a situation of abuse when I was younger. And you know what happened there is that I just did what the psalmist said that a lot of us do. I just became silent. And I didn't talk about it. And so I started carrying the weight of this event. And I tried to deal with it in the ways that I could deal with it to get myself through it and get past it. Sometimes the ways that I dealt with it, though, were not very helpful. It's kind of like rocks. You know, You've been given a rock and you're at least feel like and you've been told, I got to carry this around for the rest of my life. And sometimes in order to like cover this up though, you do other things that cause you to accumulate a few more rocks. And not that these are that heavy, but you know, they are inconvenient. I mean, I got to carry them. And so they begin to accumulate and they begin to build. And if we aren't talking about some of the stuff in our lives, if we aren't coming clean, we just begin to accumulate more and more rocks, which begin to weigh us down. He goes on to say, so I admitted my sin to you. I didn't conceal my guilt. I'll confess my sins to the Lord, is what I said, and then you removed the guilt of my sin. You know, there comes a time where we have to, in the recovery world, we talk about stepping out of denial. That, you know, sometimes we live our lives with this weight on us. Sometimes we're not even able to really recognize what it is in our life. And then there comes a day where all of a sudden we're like, yes, that's me. That's what's happened to me. A lot of my junk goes back to that. And I've been carrying this around. You acknowledge it. You bring it to your mind. And then there is something very powerful about not only acknowledging something that's amiss, how you've strayed off the path or you've been forced off the path, how the mark has been missed. There's something great in acknowledging that, but there's another level of then being able to actually say it out loud. Now, you don't have to say it out loud to be forgiven. In fact, in the book of James, it says that we confess our sin to another person for the purpose of being healed. Forgiveness is something God gives. But there comes a point where we have to begin this work of talking and dealing with all of these things that we carry around in our lives so that then God can begin to allow us to let that go so that we can be free once again. And that begins in this whole thing we call forgiveness. Forgiveness. And Nicole and I, whenever something comes up between the two of us, we talk it out. We hash it out. Sometimes it may be something really, really small. One of us may think, that's no big deal, you know? But the other feels like it's a weight. And so we work on it, we talk it out, and we usually get to this point, however, where we have to say or hear those words. Even if one of us thinks, it is no big deal, Brad, sometimes I still just want to hear those words. I forgive you. You are forgiven. Because remember, when we started this entire series, we talked about those being three of the words that people want to hear most. You are forgiven. Forgiveness. It begins to then release us from that guilt and that shame that piles up. If I start carrying around guilt and shame, and I just think, it's just a little bit here and there, I can deal with it, getting a little heavier to deal with, but it's still okay. I got this. And other things happen, other events happen in our lives, maybe a little bigger, but hey, I'm tough. I can carry this burden. And they get a little bigger. Now I'm noticing it. Now it's like cramping my style. It's bothering me, but I keep on going with it. And then there's those medium-sized things that really start creeping in. Okay, now this is really hindering my life. So maybe I'll just try this. bigger sins, bigger bag. That is much easier. And so we think, you know, hey, let's just shift some things around and I can keep on going. I can bear this on my own. But eventually, what I found, at least in my own life, is as the small things accumulate, sometimes they turn into bigger things. And then one day, something unbearable happens in life. And now it's too much. I can't live life like this. And if I try, all it's going to do is hurt me more and more and more. You know, I think about Judas. You know, the one disciple who betrayed Jesus. I wonder what was going on in Judas's life up to that point. He was the treasurer of the group of disciples that followed Jesus. He was the one that kept the money. Now, there are particular temptations that happen when you are the one who's in charge of and when you are the one who is the keeper of the money. Because we come up with all these great things that money can be used for, especially as it relates to ourselves. We can do some good things with money. The Bible doesn't say anything about what Judas may have done or not done with the money. But somehow, Judas got to a point where he was incredibly tempted by money. It was put before him, hey, if you deliver over to us Jesus, we will give you 30 pieces of silver. And not only did he turn Jesus over, he did it by kissing Jesus, because the sign was going to be, the one that I kiss is the one you need to arrest. And so Judas kissed Jesus. His rocks began to accumulate, and that one broke him. It broke him. And when he went to go collect his money, he couldn't bear it anymore. He could not carry the weight of what he had done. I don't know everything that had happened up to that point in his life, but he got to a point where something big happened and he couldn't do it anymore. And instead of finding a way to deal with that, he tried to deal with it himself. And when he couldn't, he got to a point where some people get to in life, and he felt like his only choice was to end it all. And that's exactly what Judas did. Even though Jesus, he's got grace and forgiveness that is beyond anything that we can imagine. And I guarantee you, Jesus loves and forgives even Judas. But Judas couldn't bring that to God. Judas couldn't bring that to Jesus. He tried to bear it on his own. And he took his life. Now, a lot of people get to that point. It seems like even today, more and more people find themselves in that place, which is exactly why PAL Church is hosting a suicide prevention workshop next Saturday. If you know people, if you work with people who may be in that situation, I encourage you to come out for that. It is a tool that can help you figure out how you can be there for that person. I wish someone had been there for Judas. We have to ask God to remove the weight of sin so that we can be freed from carrying it around for the rest of our lives. You know, for me, though, I've talked with a lot of people, and when they find out I'm a pastor, you know, they start saying, well, I can tell you right now, there have been times I've come out of church, and I have felt worse about myself than I did when I went in. Can anybody testify to that? Now, sometimes we Christians, we shouldn't, but we do. We get into this business of throwing rocks at other people. We get into the business of making people feel horrible about themselves. Let me tell you, this is a shame. Because Christianity is not something that should be throwing guilt and shame on somebody. Christianity is a faith focused on removing guilt and shame. It is focused on grace, on healing, on joy, on love, and on the freedom that God desires us to have. That is what our faith is all about. We don't want to add more rocks to people's baggage. We want to proclaim the God who frees and forgives. You know, sometimes then with this whole forgiveness thing, someone says, well, then how do I do it? Well, we go to the psalm, actually. We say, well, there's a little formula for it. You have to, one, realize that you're a sinner. And two, you got to acknowledge that sin. Three, you got to confess that sin. Four, you got to repent of that sin. And then you are forgiven. We want to think it's that easy. But when we make forgiveness into a process like that, we are simply making it something that we have to take certain steps in order to get. And that is not what God's grace and God's forgiveness is at all. It is a free gift. I think about the cross. Jesus on the cross, suffering and dying. And what does he say about the people who are crucifying him, the ones who are standing there mocking him, making fun of him, spitting on him? What does he say? What does he ask God to do for these people who are not repentant? They are not confessing their sin. They don't get it. What does Jesus say? He says, God, forgive them. Because they don't know what they're doing. Which to me is a perfect sign that God's forgiveness is not based on what we do. It is because God loves us. God wants us to be free of all of that guilt and shame and pain. Because God wants us to thrive. I want to share with you a story that Adam Hamilton put in one of his books. And I commend this book to you, by the way. It's called Forgiveness, Finding Peace Through Letting Go. And I've been drawing from this book a little bit throughout the series. But I want to share with you this story. It's a story about a lady named Victoria Ruvolo in New York. And this story was actually, or she was actually, voted as the most inspiring person by BeliefNet a few years ago. So I want to just share the story that Adam Hamilton writes about her in his book. He says, there was a group of teenagers who had used a stolen credit card to go shopping and had bought, among all things, a frozen turkey. Okay. As they were driving, one of the teenagers, a young man named Ryan, decided to throw the turkey out of the car window into oncoming traffic. The turkey smashed through Ruvolo's windshield, crushing her face. She survived the accident but required 10 hours of reconstructive surgery and a tracheotomy tube. That fall, Victoria attended Ryan's sentencing. To everyone's surprise, she asked the judge to be lenient toward the young man, noting, "Each day I thank God simply because I'm alive. I sincerely hope you have learned from this awful experience, Ryan. There is no room in my life for vengeance." And at that point, Ryan wept. He expressed remorse for his actions. He was sentenced to 6 months in prison rather than the maximum 25 years. Victoria said, "I truly hope that the compassion and leniency demonstrated to you, Brian, I truly hope that it will encourage you to live a loving and honorable life. Then my suffering will not have been in vain. Ryan, prove me that forgiveness is true." Victoria Ruvolo's story demonstrates the redemption and the mercy and the grace and the love that God has given to us and has asked us not only to receive, but has asked us also to be given to others. You know, not only are there things that happen in our lives that weigh us down, there are things that happen in other people's lives. Sometimes it happens between us and them. And so sometimes God wants to use us to be that voice. Because there may be someone that you know, someone that's close to you, or maybe it's someone that you just have a connection with, or maybe it's been someone from a long, long time ago. But God may want to use you to be that voice in that person's life that says, you are forgiven. I mean, not only do we hold the weight of our own lives, we also hold the weight of unforgiveness as it relates to other people. And God wants us to let go of that as well. You know, there was one lady one time in the Bible who was brought before Jesus. She had been caught literally in the act of adultery. And they brought her, threw her down at Jesus' feet. Says, Jesus, what do you want us to do with her? You know what the Bible says. The Bible says that such women like this are to be stoned to death. And they're standing there with stones in hand, ready to exercise justice. What do you say we need to do, Jesus? He was being put right to the test. And they had quoted scripture right in his face. Now, I love what the Bible says. It says that he drew in the sand. I wish I knew what he was drawing. But you know, sometimes we need a little space when we are put on the hot seat. Sometimes we need a little space to just think. And there Jesus was drawing in the sand. And then he just said some words that have rocked this world. He says, those of you who have no sin, throw the first stone. And one of the great miracles that happened at the moment is that Jesus and that woman heard this. Stones dropped. I don't know if the miracle was that her life was literally saved or people actually recognized that they had strayed off the path as well. Regardless, forgiveness was offered. Her life was literally saved. Before she confessed, before she acknowledged, before any of that, she was saved. This is our God.